We are beginning our discussion of the Haftorah for Parshas Va'era, which is found in Sefer Yechezkel, the very, very end of Perek Chaf Ches. In fact, it's the last couple of psukim in Perek Chaf Ches, starting with Pasuk Chaf He and Chaf Vav, and then moving into Perek Chaf Tes, which is where the bulk of the Haftorah is taken from. And as we'll see, the Haftorah relates quite clearly to Parshas Va'era in that it is mostly a Musar message directed by the Navi Yechezkel to none other than Mitzrayim, to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, which of course, as Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz points out, is not the exact same Paro and the Egyptians who were in the Parsha. Clearly, there was approximately 400 plus 400, a total of 800 years that elapsed from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the Makos and the Paro in this week's Parsha, and the Paro and the Mitzrayim of Yechezkel's time. Yechezkel is the Navi who is living in the times of Chorban Bayis Rishon, the very end of Chorban Bayis Rishon, very end of Binyan Bayis HaRishon. So about 800 years or so since Yetzias Mitzrayim in this week's Parsha until the end of Bayis Rishon, which is the period in which Yechezkel is speaking in the Haftorah. And take a look first at the very opening of the Haftorah, very end of the Psukim in Perek Chaf Ches. The Navi first, before getting to Mitzrayim, the Navi is given a message with regard to Klal Yisrael, and also a message that's related to this week's Parsha and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the message here is, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, God tells Yechezkel, B'kabtzi es Beis Yisrael min ha'amim, asher nafotzuvam, when I will gather the house of Israel from the nations in which and among which I have scattered the Jewish people. Now already Yechezkel is at the time where it is after the Galus Yehoyachin, which we spoke about on Asar B'Teves. It is the tail end of Bayis Rishon. It is after Nebuchadnezzar has already exiled the king Yehoyachin along with the Charash and Masker, along with the Talmid HaChamim. They've already been exiled into Babel. It's long after the 10 tribes have been exiled by Sancheiriv Melech Ashur, which was long before Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. And now we're talking about the reign of Yitzchiyahu, the last king of Bayis Rishon. Only the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin are left in Eretz Yisrael in their Nachala, in their territory. So already most of Klal Yisrael has been already exiled. And Kadosh Baruch Hu now is speaking about when the time will come when I will bring back all of Klal Yisrael from the nations in which they've been scattered, v'nikdashti bam le'enei ha'goyim, and through them, by doing so, I will be sanctified, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of all the nations, v'yashvu al admasam asher nasati la'avdi le'yakov, and they will once again be settled in their land that I gave my servant Yaakov. So again, a clear reference to Kibbutz Galios as a source of Kiddush Shem Shemayim in the eyes of the Goyim. Perhaps not unlike what the Makos were intended to accomplish to prove God's existence and God's omnipotence to the Egyptians. And the Pasuk here speaks of the return of the Jews to the land that I gave my servant Yaakov. Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz notes the term Avdi Yaakov. Avdi is a term that was bestowed upon Moshe Rabbeinu after his death. Moshe Eved Hashem, the opening psukim in Sefer Yeshua speak of Moshe Eved Hashem, where the Radak tells us that an Eved Hashem is one who every action he undertakes is for the sake of his master. Moshe Eved Hashem, everything he did was L'shem Shemayim. And here in this pasuk, we speak of Yaakov in general as being Avdi Yaakov. Yaakov being the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this again, a reference to what will happen in the future when it comes time for Kibbutz Galios. And the pasuk then says, pasuk chavav, the last pasuk in Perek Chavches of Yecheskel, v'yashvu aleha levetach, when that time for Kibbutz Golios comes, Klal Yisrael will securely dwell in Eretz Yisrael. And a phrase that we've seen before in the Haftorahs, ubanu batim v'natu kramim, they'll build homes, they will plant vineyards, v'yashvu levetach, again, they will dwell securely, safely, no fear of enemies attacking. Ba'asosi shvatim, when I perform judgment, b'kol hashatim osam misviv osam, against all those who, and this term shatim, the Rishonim here, and the Achronim explain, means those who insult or disgrace, or they are mevaze, is the term used in the Reimforshim here, those who degrade Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch will punish them. And once again, v'yadu keni Hashem Eloheihem, they will know that I am God. So two psukim, speaking of Kibbutz Golios, bringing Klal Yisrael back securely to Eretz Yisrael, punishment of those who insult them, who degrade them, and the assurance that they will dwell securely, safely, rebuild homes, and replant vineyards. Because these are the closing psukim of Perek Chavches. And again, all of this to achieve v'nikdashti bam, a kiddush Hashem, v'yadu keni Hashem. They should all know that I am God. So at this point, Rav Gamliel has an interesting ha'ara. He says the following. You see from this psukim that the end result or the end goal of this kibbutz galios and the resettlement of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is all leading up to v'yadu keni Hashem Elokeihem. That the Jews, through all of that, should know that I am God. So if the goal of redemption, if the goal of Geula is to bring about a Yedias Hashem, an awareness on our part of God's existence, God's omnipotence, so then perhaps suggests Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, the more we even now in Galus sensitize ourselves to that awareness of Ani Hashem, perhaps we can inch ever so closer to Geula as a result, because the two are tied together. The goal of Geula is to bring about an awareness of Yedias Hashem. And if so, the more that we already now in Galus can sensitize ourselves to that awareness throughout our day, everything we do with that awareness of there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is in control, that hopefully then can once again push us closer to Geula, because the two go hand in hand. That's itself a beautiful message from this first psukim here in the Haftorah. And now Perek Chavches. The Navi gives us the time, the setting. Bashanah Asiris, it's the 10th year. The 10th year, says the Radak, means the 10th year of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. So as we said before, Yehoyachin, the second last king, was exiled to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar then appointed Tzidkiyahu, who turned out to be the last king of the Bais Rishon period. And in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, Ba'asiri, in the 10th month, which is Teves, B'shnei Masar L'Chodesh, the 12th of Teves, in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, Kadosh Baruch Hu now speaks to Yechezkel. And in Pasuk Beis, as you find often in Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel is addressed as Ben Adam, son of man, which is a somewhat of an interesting phrase. You can find it throughout Sefer Yechezkel. It comes up time and again, Ben Adam. So here I will suggest, why would Yechezkel be referred to as Ben Adam? So his initial suggestion is, Ben Adam seems to be like a putting him down in his place kind of reference. Son of man. Maybe, meaning, it's a reminder, a sobering reminder, that despite your prophecy and your communication with God, and the fact that you're being sent on a divine mission to speak to Klal Yisrael, but ultimately remember, God is telling Yechezkel, you are just a Ben Adam. A mere mortal, you're a bus of Adam, Ben Adam. Perhaps that's what is meant by this phrase that is used time and again in addressing Yechezkel. Ben Adam, you're just an Adam. But then he suggests the polar opposite approach. We know that there are different terms that are used in Tanakh to refer to man. Enosh, Ish, Adam. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, Atem kruyim Adam, ve'ein umos ha'olam kruyin Adam.
The Gemara tells us in Yevamos that the term Adam is exclusive to Klal Yisrael, not to the nations of the world. And that is a subject of discussion. Why is that? Why is the term Adam used specifically to refer to Klal Yisrael, to Jews, not to Goyim? That's a different discussion. But given that that is the Maimer Chazal, suggests Rav Rabinovitz as follows. Maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu is reminding Yechezkel, Ben Adam, you are a member of Klal Yisrael. Never forget that you are able to take pride in the fact that you are a member of the Jewish nation. Now, why would God want to be reminding Yechezkel of that now? Perhaps because he suggests in order to be Zochet to Nevuah, you have to be Besimcha, you have to be in a good mood to be Zochet to Ruach HaKodesh, to be Zochet to Nevuah. And maybe the reminder that I am a Jew, I live life as a Jew, is itself a source of Simcha, enough to elevate one, in this case Yechezkel's mood, to the point that he is worthy of, deserving of, capable of receiving Nevuah. So to be mindful of being a Ben Adam can on the one hand be a sobering reminder, I'm just a mere mortal, a Basav Adam, or might be a uplifting reminder that you are a Ben Adam, meaning a member of Klal Yisrael, and that's a source of pride, a source of simcha in everything you do. But what now is the message? So in Pasuk Beis, the Navi says, Sim Panecha al Paro Melech Mitzrayim V'hinove Yalav La'am Mitzrayim Kula. God is entrusting Yechezkel with a message to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Okay, once again, associations with our Parsha here as well. And the next pasuk is a pasuk that is often associated with Paro Melech Mitzrayim of Parshas Va'era, even though it's being said to Paro Melech Mitzrayim in the time of Yechezkel. Pasuk says the following: Daber v'amarta, tell Egypt as follows: Komar Hashem Elokim, Hineni Alecha Paro Melech Mitzrayim. I am angry at you. I'm going to punish you, Paro, king of Egypt. Why? Hatanim Hagadol Harovetz Besochi Orav. Paro is compared to a Tanim Hagadol, to a large sea serpent of some sort, who crouches in his river. Meaning, of course, a reference to the Nile River, which was a source of pride for Paro and for Mitzrayim. Asher Amar, Paro has said, Li Ye'ori, to me is my river. And not just that, Va'ani A-si-si-ni. And I have, the Rashi explains this, it means, through my strength, through my wisdom, I have made myself into who I am. Li Ori, the river is mine, which Rashi says means, I don't need God, power is rejecting God. I have my Nile, it's all I need. Now that's, of course, a reference to the fact that Mitzrayim didn't need and didn't depend upon rain the same way Eretz Yisrael does. Mitzrayim, its lands were fertilized by the Nile River. It was enough to delude them into thinking they're self-sufficient. Right? Eretz Yisrael, where you depend upon rain. So we know Maseches Tainis is all about you have to daven for rain, you have to fast for rain. A Jew is constantly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciative of his and of our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you see God through rain. There is rain, there isn't rain. You daven, the rain comes. You don't daven, sometimes it doesn't come. You're constantly reminded in Eretz Yisrael of our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzrayim, no need for rain. The Nile River fertilizes their soil. They forget about God. So Paro says, Rashi explains, Li Yori, all I have is my river, that's all I need, I don't need God. V'ani Asisini, and I have made myself who I am. Ani Asisini. And this farm point out, was also what plagued Paro Melech Mitzrayim in Va'era. He thought of himself as a god. Ani Asisini, I made myself. He thought of himself as a god. And that's why the Makos were designed, to prove to Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem, God exists, and God is in charge, not you. So this is what is being said about Paro Melech Mitzrayim in Sefer Yechezkel as well. And the Navi then says, the Nasati. So now comes the punishment in Pasuk Dalet. But what's the punishment for? Pasuk Gimel really tells us the problem. The problem is Paro is just full of arrogance. He's full of himself. He's full of gaiva. He has rejected God, thinks that he is the source of his success. That is the punishment. And Rav Gamliel throughout the Haftarah explains that this is the theme here. The punishment of Paro, the punishment of Mitzrayim, due to their gaiva, which is the source of their rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what's going on here. And what now is the punishment? The punishment now is not just being meted out against Paro, but it's being meted out against the Egyptians as well. Because as it seems from the Pesukim, this arrogance that characterizes Paro was apparently contagious, if you want to call it that, infectious. It spread to the Egyptians as well. They all adopted that same arrogance and rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, the Navi says, in Pasuk Dalet, V'nasati chachim b'l'chayecha, that I will, now using the metaphor of Paro and the Egyptians as sea creatures, as sea serpent or as fish. So the Navi speaks of, I will place this iron ring in your mouth, in your jaw. Vidbakti degasi orecha bekaskisosacha, I will ensure that the fish of your river stick to your scales. Meaning the Egyptians themselves will come along with Paro. V'halisicha mitoch yerecha, I'm going to take you out of your river, which is the source of your arrogance. And all the fish of your river I'll take out with you, with your scales as well. And pasake untashticha hamidbara, I will scatter you to the deserts. You, the fish of your river, over the open fields you will fall, says the Navi. You will not be gathered in. You will not be brought back together. You'll be left for the animals and for the birds to be eaten. This is the punishment that is being predicted for Paro and for the Egyptians who suffer from this arrogance. And in Pasuk Vav, once again, V'yadu, you will then know Mitzrayim. Kol Yoshevim Mitzrayim, Kani Hashem. Again, that same objective, to recognize God's existence. Ya'an heyosam, and why? And here's another key point. So far we saw the punishment being meted out against Paro and the Egyptians because of their gaiva, their arrogance. And as a result, the river is your source of your arrogance. You'll be taken out of your river, cast across the field, cast into the desert, left for the animals to eat. But now comes another cause of the punishment. Ya'an heyosam mish'enes kone leveis Yisrael. Because you falsely presented yourself as a mish'enes, a source of support, but one that is kone, made merely of reeds for Klal Yisrael. And this now refers back to, again, another historical episode in the Navi that, again, we referred to in our discussion to Mincha Ma'ariv and Asar B'Teves, that when Bavel was now a rising power and threatening the independent Malchus Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael, there was a movement to align themselves with Paro Melech Mitzrayim. There were these false prophets who were predicting at that time the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar and the downfall of Bavel. And there was a false hope that we just have to align ourselves with Paro Melech Mitzrayim, who was the southern power, whereas Bavel was the northern power. And this alliance with Paro will enable us to defend ourselves against any possible threat from Bavel. And Yirmiyahu was cautioning the Jews, ignore those prophets, they're false, they're liars, they're frauds. Don't align yourself with Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Bavel is going to remain the power that it has been and will ultimately wreak havoc on Yerushalayim. But unfortunately, Paro offered a false source of confidence to the Jews in Yehuda and Binyamin. And the Navi now says here, in Pasuk Zayin, B'tafsam b'cho, when they grabbed onto you for support, speaking to Paro, Bakaf Terots, you instead, you crushed them. You crushed them. So when they were reaching out to you for support, you didn't give them that support. The way the Mefarshim explained this phrase is as follows, that the Radak says, the word is written, it's read bakaf, it's written bikapecha, as if to say that they wanted you to support them with your hand. They grabbed you with their hand, and instead, terots, which implies that you, rather than give them that support, but the support that you were supposed to provide was crushed instead. As you allowed yourself to just collapse, so to speak, when they reached out for support. Ubakatlahem called Kosev, and the metaphor here of leaning on someone's shoulder, and instead you allowed your shoulder to collapse. As you fail to provide them the support you promised them for against Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. You made them stand on their own. You destroyed the source of support that you had promised to provide them with. So this is, again, another reason that Mitzrayim is now being punished for giving the Jews false hope and abandoning them, essentially, and failing to provide the support you promised them, making them now vulnerable to Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. This is another crime committed by the Egyptians, as it were, and Paro that they are now being punished for. And in Pasuk Ches and Tes, here comes the punishment yet again. Lachain, therefore, Komar Hashem, so says God, Hineni mevi alach acharev, I'll bring a sword upon you, I will cut you down, man and animal, and the land of Mitzrayim will be shmama, will be desolate and destroyed. And again, the same point emphasized, V'yadu kani Hashem. They should all know that I am God. And now coming back to the previous point we started with, Yan, because Amar, he said, Yorli v'ani asisi, the river's mine, I made myself. So again, we're doubling back to emphasize that Paro's arrogance, I have the river, the Nile River, I'm self-reliant, I'm the source of my power. His false promises to the Jews to serve as a source of support for them in the face of Nebuchadnezzar, which never materialized, that's going to now result in their becoming desolate. Now, if Pam Zatzal used this Musar message here to refer to the contemporary, perhaps, lessons that we need to take to heart in modern-day Medinas Israel, when, sadly, history has shown that Medinas Israel can't trust any ally in the world to come to their rescue in time of need. Yes, when it's convenient, there will be some countries that will pledge support, pledge assurances, but ultimately, in a time of need, there is no one that Medinas Israel, Eretz Israel, can rely upon to come through. Just one example comes to mind, 1973. So yes, we perhaps are inclined to think that the United States saved Israel from certain destruction by rushing armaments to prop them up as their military stockpiles were running dangerously low in the face of the combined Arab onslaught. But then you think back to the fact that the United States government told Israel, in advance of the war, we know there's going to be a combined Arab attack on Yom Kippur, and you dare not preemptively attack, or we're not going to help you at all. And none other than Henry Kissinger himself explicitly stated he wanted Israel to be bloodied a little bit in the war, so it should be more of an even, two-sided battle. And he therefore delayed delivery of weapons to Israel just to bloody them a little bit. These are not the friends that you refer to when you think of those who have your back, so to speak. In fact, there is a book written by John Loftus and Mark Ahrens, in which they credit the survival of Israel in the Yom Kippur War to Alexander Haig, chief of staff at that time in the White House, who on his own rushed anti-tank missiles to Israel before given official authorization, which proved vital in holding back the Egyptian tank invasion. Kissinger is not the hero. He was the villain who allowed Israel to run up to the very, very edge of the precipice and almost get pushed over by the Arab invasion before deciding, okay, maybe I've gone too far. Time to give him some support. One has to be very, very careful, if Palm says, although he doesn't quote this example, but he does quote with regard to Medinas Israel in general, not to rely upon expressions of friendship and support from various nations. I think when we were in Eretz Yisrael last week, so the group of Rabbanim that I was traveling with met with the foreign minister of Israel, Eli Cohen of the Likud. And he too made mention of the fact that France, back in the 1960s, which had been Israel's main supplier of arms in the early 60s, the Mirage jet was the mainstay of the Israeli Air Force in the early 60s. And then come the Six-Day War, and Charles de Gaulle put an absolute arms embargo on Israel. Such friends we don't need much of. He completely banned all military sales and exports to Eretz Israel entirely. These are those that we thought of as our friends. Even, as I recall reading, the naval gunboats that he had promised and Israel had paid for, he refused to deliver. It came down to Israeli commandos in the dark of night slipping into the French naval port of Cherbourg, I think it was called, and escaping with six naval gunboats in the dark of night, just making a race for the Mediterranean Sea, almost like, I guess you'd call it, hot-wiring a car and stealing it in the middle of the night. And these were Israeli gunboats that they had paid for, and de Gaulle said, no, I'm not giving it to you. These are the friends that we can't rely upon, and this, Rav Pomeguez in general, says that, you see from this Navi, history repeats itself. And you rely on Mitzrayim to come to your aid against Nebuchadnezzar, and they turn around and run away. And that, sadly, has been a lesson that we've learned the hard way with regards to Medina Sisrael as well. So now the Navi again continues with the punishment that is going to be meted out to Mitzrayim as a result of their arrogance, as a result of their false promises to Klal Yisrael. And now Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Navi says, therefore, I am now going to direct my anger or my punishment against you, Mitzrayim, against your Nile rivers. I will make Mitzrayim desolate. Chorev, Shemama, it's going to be a destruction of desolation from Migdol Sveine until Gvul Kush, you know, across the country from one border to the next. Lo Savar Baregel, Adam Baregel, Behemol Lo Savar Ba, no man shall walk through it, no animal shall walk through it. And then the Navi says, Velo Seishev, it should not be settled, Arbaim Shana, 40 years. So where did this number 40 years come from? 40 years. Dafka 40 years. And yet here you see the exactitude of the Midas Hadin. Because Rashi here tells us, why 40 years? Interestingly, Rashi says, here in Yecheskel, because we know from the Parashios of Miketz, Vayigash, that there were supposed to be years of famine in Mitzrayim. After all, those were the dreams that Paro had dreamt, that Yosef interpreted. 7 cows, 7 years, 7 years of abundance of crops, 7 years of famine. So Rashi tells us the truth is that there were supposed to be 42 years of famine, says Rashi. 42 years of famine. Because there were 7 cows, there were 7 stalks of grain. And the dreams were repeated 3 times in the Pesukim. First, the Pasuk describes Paro dreaming it. Pasuk describes Paro telling it over to Yosef. And then Pasuk describes Yosef interpreting the dream. So 3 times the dream is mentioned. And each time there are 7 cows, 7 shibon. That's 14. 14 times 3, 42. Interesting. Cheshbon, so Rashi quotes here in Yecheskel that there was really supposed to be 42 years of famine. But as we know from the Pesukim in Vayigash, Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim. The famine stops after only 2 years. So Rashi here says in Yecheskel, in this Haftorah, that there should have been 42 years of famine. But when Yaakov came down after only 2 years of famine, the famine stopped. So 2 years of famine they already had. The remaining 40, God says now in the Navi, now I'm going to punish you for those remaining 40 that you haven't yet experienced. So this desolation, Rashi says in Yecheskel, that the Pesukim describe here as punishment to Mitzrayim for their arrogance, for their false promises to Klal Yisrael, is 40 years. The 40 years of famine that you never got before, now it's time for you to suffer the desolation of 40 years. And the Rabbi then says in Pasuk Beis, once again, reiterating that I will make Mitzrayim desolate, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, amongst the other desolate lands. Amongst the other desolate lands. Meaning, Mitzrayim's desolation will even outshadow the desolation of neighboring countries. And the cities of Mitzrayim will be the most desolate, more so than others in surrounding countries. 40 years, Mitzrayim will be scattered amongst other nations. And then after 40 years, says the Navi, I will gather Mitzrayim back from the nations, bring them back to Mitzrayim, resettle them in their land, and they will still then be, in Pasuk Yudalad, a mamlacha shvala, a lowly nation. That was the punishment for the arrogance. their arrogance, Li Oriv, Ani Asesini, even when they are returned to their country, they'll always remain a lowly, lowly nation. It's pretty remarkable. You think back to the fact that in the times of the Chumash, Mitzrayim was the civilization of antiquity. And since then, nothing. There's been nothing in Mitzrayim. Nothing there. Yes, in the times of Yechezkel also, they were a power in times of Yechezkel, but the Navi promises they're going to be a Mamlacha Shvala after that point. Lo sisnase od al hagoyim, says the Navi in Pasuk Tesvav. They will never ever be prominent and be superior to the other nations. They will be v'himatatim, they will be minimized, never to be in control of other nations. L'vilti redos bagoyim. So now Yechezkel again speaking, end of Bayis Rishon, Mitzrayim, which was at that time at one point a contending world power, the Ptolemy kings in Mitzrayim. I guess later times of Bayis Sheni were for a time, influential, but never will they rule over other kingdoms, says the Navi Yechezkel here. And they will never be again for Beis Yisrael as a source of reliance. And again, the Navi concludes in Pasuk Tezayin with V'yadu Kani Hashem, again that message to bring home the fact that I am God. And then the concluding psukim of the Haftarah, beginning with Pasuk Zion, now speak of the 27th year, but this is 27th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, which is 8 years after Churban Bayis Rishon. Berishon Be'echad L'Chodesh, this is now in the first of Nisan. Again, Dvar Hashem Elai Lamor, God speaks to Yechezkel. And now, different message. Ben Adam, again addressing Yechezkel, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, took his army to Tzor, Tzor, a city in Lebanon, that God had decreed would be destroyed. And the army of Nebuchadnezzar worked hard there, says the Navi, without getting any reward for doing so. They worked hard, meaning, before Hashem explained, to conquer Tzor, which God had decreed Tzor should be destroyed, and Nebuchadnezzar was in essence the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the city of Tzor. And as a result, Pasuk Yates, it's almost as if because he was doing my shlichus without ever having been rewarded for it, so therefore now in Pasuk Yates, we conclude the Navi Haftarah with the following, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will give Nebuchadnezzar the land of Egypt as reward, Sachar L'Chelo, says the Navi. He will take away from Mitzrayim the spoils of Mitzrayim as wages, as reward for what he has done as God's Shliach in destroying Tzor, the city of Tzor. He will be given Mitzrayim. So this is the Navi Yechezkel predicting that Babel is going to be victorious over Mitzrayim and cart away its riches. And the last pasuk concludes with the following, pasuk kafal, Vayomahu atzmiach keren leveis Yisrael, on that day, when the 40 years of Mitzrayim's desolation are up, and they return to the land, on that day, their salvation for Klal Yisrael will start to sprout. Ulachon, for you, Yechezkel, etein pischam pe besocham, I will give you an opportunity to speak, because they will now see that your nevuah come true. They'll now be more willing to listen to you. And again, for maybe the fifth, sixth time in the Haftarah, the Navi ends again with that same theme, V'yadu ken Yashem, they will all know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The theme seems to be repetitive time and again, to take to heart the Yedias Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence, first and foremost, take that to heart, and the punishment to Mitzrayim for their arrogance, for offering their false promises of security to Klal Yisrael, the reward given to Babel, they will take over Mitzrayim, take the spoils of Mitzrayim, and ultimately, Klal Yisrael again returning to Eretz Yisrael, eventually, as the Navi began the Haftarah with, as a source of also Kiddush Hashem and V'yadu Keni Hashem. Okay, we'll conclude here. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of the week.